Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband.
Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
What's going on, Real Ass Podcast? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez. I am sitting here in Los Angeles, California for a second time. We're doing this intro again because my fat foot kicked the recorder over and the battery knocked out. We missed the first 10 minutes of the podcast. But to be honest with you, blessing in disguise, because now we're nice and warmed up. And I'm very happy to have on the show for maybe the first time ever, I think. I don't know if you've ever done a Real Ass Podcast. It's a Real Ass Podcast. This is the number one alt-right Christian podcast in the world. And we're very happy to have, once again, Kurt Metzger.
Oh, thank you. I'm just going to start the number one hardcore Islamic podcast, I think.
You can do that. You see, we defend the white man. Not many people are defending white guys anymore, so I've taken it upon myself.
Which white man? He's a lucky guy.
No. Not just one. The white man, figuratively speaking. I'm talking about all of you guys. You're not that bad.
Well, yeah, I'm not that white, unfortunately. That's
Are you? You're pretty white, Metzger. Do people not consider you white?
It depends how tan I am. If I'm tan, just Turkish nonstop, I get bodegas and fuck. Like,
that
you
makes sense.
Turkish is white.
I sort of consider Turkish white. I feel like I don't even know what the fuck part of that world is. That could be.
Well, white's like a fucking.
Where's Turkey?
It's like census.
It's sort of like halfway between Russia.
White, you're like, if you're talking about ethnicities, you're, you know, the only reason they made the term white is so that you could tell who the blacks are.
Yeah.
But that's they're not like, it's not really a.
That's what we can tell. Don't you
worry. It's not really a, you know, that's why, like, if somebody's like, oh, that's my white heritage, I'm like, that's not really a, you mean like your Italian heritage? Like, do you know what I mean? You can't really.
No, I would consider Swedish white heritage, Norway white heritage. Once you start to get a little bit more, you know, other things in there, you blend some more cultures in, it's fine. You know, English people, that's fucking white,
you know,
dude.
Irish down?
People.
You know that breaks down? That's a good point. Like, so you consider that because you're American and that's American. But fucking when in Europe for thousands of years, just like hundreds of years of wars, that, you know, Irish is not white to like English.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Like, the only reason you could say white is because there's people who aren't white around. And if everybody is white, then somebody has to be the new non-whites.
Yeah. Well, so without evil, there could be no good, as they say. Am I right?
Yeah.
There we go. You're white, Metzger. I don't know what way you want to slice it. If you gotta put people
into you for appreciating it.
A white or not white category, you're going to be in the white category.
Man, I really appreciate that.
That's not a problem. It's a compliment. It really was.
I feel like I don't get that my due of.
Look, we should mention, you know, we're cool again now. We had a fucking thing. We never spoke about it. I know you spoke to Jeff Leach on his podcast about it. I spoke extensively. It's sort of water under the bridge at this point, so we don't have to get into the, you know, the bullshit. But
yeah,
me and Metzger got into a fucking thing that became very public. And, you know, it was the reason that I went into anger management. There's some real positive that came out of it in my life in a lot of ways.
Never should have tweeted and publicized it, and I apologize.
yeah, I mean, look, dude.
It's all right. When did you go? What do you do with anger management, by the way? Like, what is it, a therapist?
Yeah, I see a therapist.
Oh, where?
Well, it was a black lady in Harlem for a while, which is just really hilarious that a black woman's teaching me how to keep control of my temper.
In Ilanya? How did you feel when your mother called you a bitch, Louis? my brother.
But I go to talk therapy, and you know, we just what keeps me from being angry or from blowing up is because I go to talk therapy. I know I'm gonna have to.
How long
talk
have you
about
gone
it.
For a little while?
I saw the one lady for about a month and a half. I was going every week, and I just started seeing a new lady a couple weeks ago.
What do they tell you, like, why you're angry or something? Is that what it is? Like, you go, I figure, like,
it's both. So you talk about, like, you talk about, like, sort of what the, you know, beginning stages are and why, you know, you're sort of so quick to be angry. But then it's also about controlling it, just exercises, things you could do. I'm right. Fucking counting shit. None of that shit works for me, though. The reason it works at all is because I know that if I fucking call a
cab driver some name and yell at him and threaten him, I'm going to have to talk about it on fucking Saturday, you know, and you're just checking yourself a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? You're just sort of keeping yourself a little more accountable. I think it's why couples therapy is good. Cause if you're going to couples therapy and you're going to have to talk about the horse shit every single week, it's sort of a painstaking process. So I think you're less likely to jump in and do stupid shit.
Well, especially for anger shit, therapy, I totally think is good. I've been a couple, like, I feel like if I'm married or something, I have kids, but I feel like if I'm with like a girlfriend and I go to couples therapy, like next time I'll just break up.
Yeah.
it was a waste of time for my thing because the relationship wasn't going to be good from the outset, you know? So I guess if it's like, it's going to, but how do you know if it's going to be, because at the time I guess I was much younger too. I wasn't honest probably with myself about it. I was like, good, she wants to go, so we'll go. But, it's, you know.
Yeah, well,
now
you
I'd
sort of
just be honest and be like, we're having problems and we don't want to be here. You know?
Yeah, I mean, look, it could work. It depends on who it is. You know, look, dude, it's fucking psychological. It's just in your head, right? So you make a decision. It's like this. Like, you can make a decision to get over some horseshit. You can make a decision to be angry. You can make a decision. It really is about genuinely sort of making a decision in that moment. And this is how I know my anger. And it's the same thing with couple shit, right? I don't blow up in front of my son. There's a decision there. It's not absolutely uncontrollable. I don't blow up and
that's good because that's probably like what'll fuck them up.
No, of course. Yeah. But I don't.
Kids are like Dobermans. You got to be calm.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, so I think it's sort of the same thing. So the reason therapy, I think, can work for almost anybody is because it's a decision. You can sort of make a decision that's going to be what works for you and you're going to be able to, you know. But
if you understand the thing and can think through it, it helps, which I thought therapy was good because like it wasn't, so it's like, all right, so they just listen to you, like, great. But the guy I went to was like really good, dude. He would say just like a little thing.
Was it the one that everyone sees?
No, I don't think that's cool. I think that's
fucking psychotic. Yeah. I don't like the fact that like I'll say shit to him and he'll.
I don't trust that guy.
No, he'll know what. Neither do I. Specifically, I don't trust him. I would because
he knows everybody's secrets in your peer group.
It's crazy. Like, he shouldn't know whatever. The other thing is, like, he'll know if one
Andy
person
said that first. I didn't say it, but like, that's true. Like, that's weird. This one guy knows all the comedy.
It's crazy. You know? It's crazy. And then he can't. But there's an inherent thing that is dishonest. Because let's say I'm talking about Big J. Which, why the fuck would I be talking about Big J in therapy? But let's say I am. He can't say, "Oh, I've seen Big J. I know who he is." You know what I'm saying? So he's just going, "Uh-huh," and kind of shaking his head, and you're going, "Like, well." When you know that, when you step back and you're like, wait a minute, you're just kind of being, but you're not really giving me real advice here because you know too many of the variables. It's not actually objective.
And also, I know too many examples of his handiwork to trust in his process. from what I've seen, it's a sub Dr. Drew level of success with a.
Yeah. Bobby Kelly's his big success story. Bobby Kelly's going to die within 2 years.
He helped him change all of his anger and vices into just eating. Just one vice. That's what you do. You get it down to just being addicted to one thing.
Just concentrated on one specific thing.
I mean, you could do that in church. That's how church people get fat. Because you know, I don't know about, I wasn't Catholic, but like the ones you think of, like the Bible beater kind of Republican, right, that are not Catholic, that they're like, oh, they don't fuck. Yeah, they do. All them born agains and shit. Yeah, they're like, fuck. Okay, you know the same girl I did. It was born again when.
Oh yeah.
It's just you have to be married. So if you're not married, you got to. And they're like, and I know this for a fact. I bet you I'm calling out anybody that got raised with that kind of shit, like real Baptist or whatever. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. You read all these fucking Bible stories, and I don't know if you know this. It's basically Game of Thrones in there, as far as all the sister fucking and
yeah,
you know, like weird. Just like it's a lot of hot incest.
Yeah.
And so you're not reading it to be sexual, but
whose phone is that?
Not me.
Kim, is that your phone?
Probably Kim's phone.
Should have me crazy. Anyway, go.
Yeah. So it's all this like incest. So you're not reading it sexual, but guess what? It's still just seeping into your head. So they're like the horniest motherfuckers. Like Catholics don't really read the Bible that much. Yeah. You just show up. So I think there's even though a lot of proclivity to anal in lieu of.
Yeah, I knew a girl like that in high school.
Loophole.
This girl, I don't want to say her name, but she was like a Greek chick, really cute. I dated her, but before she was, I was the guy before the guy.
It's hard to tell if that's Greek or Catholic, though, isn't it?
Dude, this chick, fucking, cute little Greek chick. My girl's gonna be listening. She's gonna get mad at me, but
I dated her right before she decided to give up her anal virginity. I was the guy that would like to, we just like kiss.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
And then the next guy she dated, she was just letting her fuck her in the ass all the time.
Yeah.
Nonstop. And it was his idea too, because he didn't want to lose his virginity.
Yeah, no, the old loophole, they call it.
Yeah, that's it.
What I used to call it was butt sex, which means everything but sex.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it covers all of that.
That's
what sodomy originally meant. Everything that wasn't regular sex.
I'll do it if a chick's into it, like really into it. But that's the only reason I'm into it.
Yeah, right.
Jay used to have a great joke about that, where he used to say, it doesn't even feel good. We only do it because you don't want to do it, which is such a fucking...
Yeah.
It's so true, but he's like, when you put your dick in it, it used to feel like your dick was going to a mouse hole, but on the other side of that hole was a warehouse full of nothingness, which is just such a great...
Best case scenario, nothingness.
Yeah. I know.
I guess it depends on the butthole, but whatever. It's not like the thing, like some girls, I don't know. It's a real love hate thing. From my experience,
well, you have that fucking giant hammer. So how do you even suggest it to a chick when you have like,
well, if they're into it, then it's like,
you they're know, just into, but they're into a giant dick. That's crazy.
I've definitely met girls like, there's no way that anybody's going to be getting in there. Unless it's, you know, a war crime or something.
Yeah.
That's the only time that's Kate. But I guess I've taken a butthole virginity and a front and a back virginity in my
life. Just one time, that's it?
I'm trying to think if they're like, yeah. Well,
I've taken a few virginities in my day.
Well, that's coming up as a street kid.
I said taken.
Coming up as a leader of a group of street kids that are hackers, obviously. why are we
that's
talking about
my,
ass fucking?
I got my beads.
How do we get into ass fucking? Oh, therapy, obviously.
Yeah, duh.
So we got to the root of your rage.
So speaking of being fucked in the ass,
it out.
Therapy
done.
But look, it works. I'm doing new therapy online. It's one of the sponsors for the show. It's BetterHelp. And I'll do an ad for it later on. But I do therapy. It's like Skype therapy, which is super convenient. And you don't cry as much. It's weird. I don't cry via Skype. There's something weird. I'm not going to cry at a computer. But in real, like, all you got to do, if you want me to cry in therapy, all you got to do
you're probably seeing yourself on the screen, too, aren't you? Like, when you're doing that split... Or you just see them?
Huh, I wonder. I'm trying to think. Do I? Yeah, I guess you do see yourself. So I guess you.
But
cut
also,
off like
there's
an asshole.
I get that because there's like a. It's the same reason people say crazy ass shit that they'd never say. It's like there's a thing separating you from the actual.
Yeah.
So, do you think? So yeah, I wonder if that takes away from the. Yeah, I wonder.
It doesn't make me cry. That's all I know. Anytime I go to therapy, all they do is they mention my mom, and then I fucking break down, and it's over. Like a bitch.
I never cried in therapy.
You've never cried in therapy?
I mean, not that I was like trying to not cry.
You've never broken through.
Well, I don't have a therapist out here. I fucking, it's like crazy. You can't find, you gotta find one that takes your insurance and shit. And like,
no, they don't take cash.
I'm not paying for, I can't pay these people out of pocket out here.
No.
The thing I went to New York was from Presbyterian set it up because I went into psych ward, you know?
No. So it was, I didn't know you went to a psych ward.
Yeah, that's how when I met Barry. That's how, well, that's not, I knew Barry Crimmins before that, but that's how I hooked up with Barry.
I didn't know any of that. Why'd you go to psych ward? What happened?
I was going to fucking kill myself. It was a.
How close were you to killing yourself?
Close enough that I was going to go, that I went.
You voluntarily just went to a psych ward by yourself?
Yeah, because.
Or somebody told you you had to go, or had that come about?
No, I did a thing of like, I wasn't like. Most of the time people tell you when they kill themselves, it's actually a cry for help. Like almost always if someone says, I'm going to kill myself, they're not going to do it.
Right.
But they need you to say something. The danger is when you're not telling anybody that you're going to do that. You know, that's when people actually do it.
It's a badass way.
So, and I also don't want to do that.
Real Estate of the Week, Kurt Metzger.
No, it's like a real secret agent way to do it.
Yeah.
And what I did was I kind of like hid it from myself too. Like my, so I couldn't talk myself out. You know what I mean? Like. I got like prepared to do it. I'm like, I'm gonna get back from whatever.
How are you gonna do it?
Razors, not a good way.
Razors,
you know, like
swallowing.
Razors, swallow razors. Is that like
and go to sleep? Just I heard swallow 60 razors.
I heard it's one of the most peaceful ways. I was like, I'm gonna swallow some razors.
Chuck a bottle of Jack Daniel's, swallow 60
and then
razors.
This is wild, dude. And I went, I was gonna do this road gig, and then so and I rarely pick up ass on the road. It really has to be somebody showed up to just to do that, okay?
Yeah.
Or if I from a show, I'm trying to think, it's usually like very specific circumstances. Where
that's the same way. I'm very lazy too. I would never go somewhere, but if it falls,
also I don't drink, so I don't know where I'm gonna go.
Yeah, there's no reason. You gotta like go to IHOP, which is
so
weird.
This chick was talking to me after the show. It was like a birthday party. Elena's full of these fucking like, a lot of them are like pretty hot, dude, and they're like, now a lot of them are single moms, but they're like all like young single moms.
Yeah,
and I don't know what's with the dudes there, but they're like, all the shit I would roll my eyes at hearing somebody say in New York or here.
Right.
Like all the kind of feminist complaints or whatever I watch happen there.
What do you mean?
Like, did you ever used to do the improv?
Did I do the
improv? In Atlanta? No. All right. So this dude, Gilbert Lowend. Do you know Gilbert? He's in
New York. Yeah, I do. He's a funny guy.
So him and his sister used to run the improv in Atlanta. It was one of the best fucking road gigs I ever did when I first did it. Like, it was like really good money. Mm. They take care of your shit. So his sister is fucking great at running shows, okay? But they were like, they knew the con, like, so in Atlanta, like, I guess she built all this kind of shit. This club, one club, so the improv, she ended up suing the guy. It was crazy what this dude did, the boss, to like, he wanted to like hook up with her or something. And then she's like, no, you're like a married guy. He fucking fired her, told people it's for stealing or something outrageous.
Right.
She sued the fucker. And then like another club, these dudes are all these rich kids that got a club and they're total hand jobs. And the thing is funny is like, she'll just do all this shit. You know, like how Christine handles a whole bunch of shit with Jay. I'm like, God damn, that's a fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, just does it. All you got to do is let her do what she does. But they're all like jerk off. I don't. I just thought of the name to compare it to, but I might see that person, so I'm not going to say it. But but they're all, they fucking, and then it's like pure like abuse, like from like really like effeminate. It's like that Southern dandy thing where you like, you think the guy's gay.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like, they're, turns out they're not gay. You're like, are you sure you're not? But it's like, yeah. That's an old school Atlanta money tradition.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's shit where I'm like, oh, wow. Not, you know, you're somewhere like New York or wherever where it's all these, you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what are you, like, it couldn't be more set up for you to have your Sex in the City times that you thought you were going to have here, so.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, I think
and you don't have a kid, like, anyway.
So
this girl,
you meet this chick after the show.
So we were like chatting up, and then like I ended up hanging out with her and her friends, and we ended up hooking up. And so she was telling me, so like after we fucked, she was telling me about how she went to the psych ward for she slit her wrists. So like by coincidence, dude, some girl I happen to hook up with tells me, she's like, by the way, don't ever. That's like, I don't recommend it. It's the most painful. It sucks.
It's also not like a coincidence. I think most girls I've hooked up with you have tried to kill themselves at one point.
But usually, like you know, after.
It's usually.
It's usually after.
In the morning.
Yeah, not before I even meet them. Okay, so it's like, boy, I'm good.
Yeah.
Before, not retroactively. But anyway, she was talking about it. It's like, and also, her shit story was like way more difficult than mine was at the time, like
so
with a kid and a kid.
That's fucking
like,
crazy. That's yeah, the thing. Like, that's the thing where that's the only time where because I don't believe suicide's inherently selfish the way people fucking trash suicide.
You know what else is staying alive?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. Actually, more you're using more resources, motherfucker. Like honestly, so if you're not religious, if you believe that your lights are shut off,
yeah.
I mean,
some shit's supposed to be for you.
I completely get suicide. I've been suicidal in my life. I've talked about
it's not normal times. Brain state, dude.
Do you believe once you die, your lights just shut off completely? That's it. Like it's just fucking.
I don't have any idea. I don't have any.
You
idea.
Don't have, but you don't have even sort of just the way you sort of.
I think even thinking of it that way is probably not like it's so beyond something you understand that even just thinking about it, like light shutting off, like that's you're still within this paradigm of turning things off that like it's something that you couldn't possibly understand while you're alive is what my guess is like
do you think there's a level of consciousness after death?
Probably.
You think so? Okay, so that's interesting that you, because I, the reason I'm so like matter of fact about suicide and I'm not, I don't think of it as this crazy selfish act, is because I sort of look at it as just saying, hey, you know what? I kind of want to turn the lights off.
Well, if you have loved ones that depend on you, then it is. Yeah. And then the thing is, though, if you're in that, you're not even going to think that you have that. But I'll tell you the other thing, too, like, especially with Brody out here, like,
yeah,
especially watching up close the thing of a suicide, like, nobody saw. I mean, he was a guy who was always trying to be positive about it and whatever. And I think it was from the drugs. Because, you know, that's why people kill themselves on antidepressants, is because if you're really depressed, you don't have the hustle to do it. You're just like, can't even get out of bed when you have it that amount. And then they give you enough energy.
You're like, oh.
They kill anxiety, and they give you enough get up and go, but your problems are all there.
And then you get out of bed, but you can only make it to the kitchen to get the knife. And then you're like, you know what? I'm depressed again.
That's exactly what it is. You're like, oh, I can do this. And so there's a transition where you get like used to it because your problems are still there, but now you don't have a fear of the great beyond like you maybe did. You're supposed to be afraid to kill yourself. You're supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's a normal thing. So it either has to be like in some cult kind of indoctrination where you're like, I kill myself if this happens, you know?
Yeah.
Or there's a problem with your brain chemistry. That's all.
So this chick, though, so she tried to slice her
wrist.
And
I was like, Jesus, and, you know.
She showed you the scars?
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember if I was like, let me
see. I hate cutters.
No, she fucking...
Cutters are the fucking...
She fucked me a lot. It was awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure it was great.
It was like way better than... but I just felt... I was just
you
like,
see when
Jesus.
People like are cutters and then they wear short sleeves, you're like, dude, don't bring me into your fucking weirdo world. I got to sit here and not mention the slices up and down your arms now. Come on. Don't wear... If you're a cutter...
Well, that is a thing of... Because I've heard people like, don't bring it up. Like, but I'm like... Like, don't bring it up. Don't ask me if my tattoo hurt. I'm like, you got the tattoo for that very reason, is to draw. You know, I was used to see it.
You're not supposed to bring it up.
If you're a cutter, that's a real thing. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not.
There are people that listen to the show that, without a doubt, unquestionably, are cutters. We have a pretty big fan base here, okay? And it's the most hardcore, It's like the Legion of Skanks fans, the ones that fucking really matter. These are the ones that listen to this show.
That's
okay?
The thing, as I understand
but there
it,
there are
is
people that do listen
it,
to the show that do cut, and I'm telling them right now, don't wear a fucking short sleeve shirt, cocksucker. You're making it weird for everybody. It's supposed to be weird for you and your very close friends. It's not supposed to be weird for casuals like me. You're not supposed to come to a comedy show and be like, oh, hey, dude, I enjoyed the set. And then I get to shake your hand and look down at your fucking sliced up arm. I'm not prepared for that. And if you do it, I'm going to call you out to your face. And I'm going to shame you. I'm not a nice person.
Now, how does that go for track marks? The second most important fans of the show.
That's another thing, though. Yeah, if you have track marks, dude, don't bring me into your fucking druggy world. Do what you do, but wear some long sleeves.
Yeah, don't cut yourself, and especially don't cut your sleeves.
Exactly. So this chick, she had these slices. She told you not to. Why?
I didn't tell her any of this shit.
No, she said you don't want to do
it
that way.
She was just talking about it, but no. Well, then I was like, all right, well, you know, that's like a kind of thing of like where I'm like, all right, I don't have. It's like I'm like some single fucking mom. Like, it's a significantly worse story. That wasn't even worse, but it was like harder. She had a harder story.
She also doesn't have a fucking superpower. She's not extremely funny. She doesn't have, that
ass is pretty simple.
But you hear what I'm saying? Like, it's like whatever her fucking high point in life probably isn't comparing to your high point. And your low points probably aren't comparing to her low points either. And then she's got to get on top of it. So you think about how fucked up her life. So are you saying because of that, is that sort of what saved you? Is that what made you go like, I need to fucking get help?
At that point, it would just helped. Where I'm like, and I hadn't been thinking about it, and then she was telling me about that thing, and I was like, I was planning to fucking cut my wrist. Holy shit. Like it kind of dawned on me later. But yeah, that's just like a little thing that like, so luckily that happened, because not like I was going to tell anybody something like that. That's how a lot of people who actually do it, you know? But if you hear someone saying they're going to do it, that's like some kind of, it's always a cry for help.
Yeah.
What am I saying? Always. Like, what am I,
No, I'm sure it happens.
What am I, Alan? Expert there? Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes it's them literally just saying, I'm going to kill myself, and then they do it, and they're like...
Well. And it's a tough thing, because, like, how much do you stick your nose in somebody's business, you know? So, anyway.
Well, I mean, look, it depends on how people...
It is a selfish thing, but to even, like...
I look at, like, Artie Lang, and, you know, he seems to be doing better now. I hope he does, but, you know, he's killing himself with drugs. And at what point... Yeah, right. You know, people are like, everyone's like, you gotta save Artie. Everyone's like, dude, I don't know, man. Sometimes people just want to fucking go. And, you know, the way that he's doing it, it's fucking, It's really fucked up, but
is well now what's going on? Because he
well now he's I think he's doing like this. I saw him just like on, working on a garbage truck, doing like a work program, and he looks a little bit better.
He's not on anything now.
I don't know.
Man, that guy's the greatest too. I fuck it. This is like
he's
awesome.
He's a great dude.
Like you could not be a better. And he used to call me sometimes, like mm-hmm. especially like when I was really getting fucking shit hammered by like but like he would just like call me and shit. I talked to him for like a long time. Like it's like the, I mean on Stern he's fucking he was great. Like
brilliant.
He's
yeah.
just like the fucking good hang.
He's a good dude.
And he's gonna laugh.
Also,
a lot.
Really likes good comedy. Like just very like yeah, he's for you know for no reason at all. Like you know for years now, just always super like.
He's one of the first people to get nice. Fucked out of shit for.
You just like. Yeah. Which say really nice things, but he didn't have to, like, for years now. Like, it's just, like, just go out of his way to, like, you know, Colin's the same way, Colin Quinn is the same way.
Well, a guy like Artie especially, if you were to read any, like, online generally about him by a lot of people, it would be, like, some, like, you would think he's, like, a dangerous person to be around.
No, he's got a fucking demon, and he wants to kill himself. And that's, you know, he did it in a, when he tried to stab himself, that's a fucking crazy way to do it.
It does sound kind of dangerous now. Yeah. I guess I wasn't specific on who.
If you read about him, you know, he stabbed himself to death with a kitchen knife. No, not dangerous at all. I'd let him watch my kids. The rumors.
Well, dangerous in the show business means danger to, like, whoever's money.
Yeah,
based on everything like is like revolves around that. That's the fucking the
yeah.
Little. So well, that's why if you're like, why is everything so horribly pandery to fucking the worst shit of like the youngest people that?
Well, it's so funny because it's like, what's even is it? Are they pandering to young people or young people so disengaged from reality that they will just sort of let
well disposable income. Well, that's where that comes in.
But do people really feel this way, or are they just sort of following the lead? Does you know art imitate life, or does life imitate art? Right? Wait,
which way?
I'm saying like, is it that the media is pandering to young people, or is it that the media is sort of creating this narrative, and young people just follow whatever narrative the media creates?
They're pandering to
because I don't even think young people really gave a fuck about we're offended forever. There was a shift where
you know what it is?
I've been doing comedy for you know I guess close to 15 years now, right?
Right.
And when I started, you got to think about it, dude. It was, you know, 2000.
Very different, yeah.
2004, right? 2003, 2004 is when I started. It was a time when, like, colleges were fucking great. You go to a college, and it was like, you're like, dude, I might get some fucking pussy. We can say some crazy shit. These are kids. They don't give a fuck. We can smoke weed. We could. And it shifted in my time in comedy where young people started to be the people that were being offended. And it's a crazy thing. It really is. And what I think what's going to happen is it's just going to age out. People act like the pendulum is going to swing back the other direction. It's not. It's going to age out. Right. And eventually, I think, you know, 30, 40, 50 years from now, not even, I think 10 years from now, there's going to be words that are absolutely illegal to say in public. I think there's going to be, obviously, the way that...
I think they... Listen, let me tell you something that, like, the N-word...
Okay. My favorite word.
I put a word burka on it, so it wouldn't be
a word burka. So
I
funny.
Always cover it with a just. Oh, you just through a slit, you see the N. You just see NN.
But
there.
What does it matter, nigger or the N word? It's the same exact.
I know
thing.
There's a nigger under that burka.
We know there is. There always is.
Hey, I'd like to marry you and take a look at that igger. couple of sweet G's in that. Bet you got some sweet double G's you know, under your fucking
dude, word
burky.
Burka is such a funny term.
That's,
holy
but
shit.
That's like what everybody does. So that let me tell you something. Why is that word still around today? The word that, I mean, everybody agrees is bad. And, you know, even if you're like, I don't think it's fucking like I don't believe in magic words.
Yeah,
but I'm like, it'd probably be bad if everyone said it publicly around. Yeah, like so a word
or,
like that,
or it would completely if everyone just said it publicly, it would completely lose its power and it would mean absolutely nothing.
You know what? It's if
everyone just said it. If we just renamed flower, if flowers were now niggers, okay, like oh my god, this is so beautiful. How many niggers are on this block in Brooklyn?
It is
unbelievable.
Look,
what they've done. This neighborhood's really come up.
It is well anyway.
How? But it would completely lose its power.
The point is the. It, as a word, it really holds up a lot, like a lot like cheers.
You know, which so, coincidentally, there were not on
there's
cheers.
Always a new, or like Seinfeld's gonna be around. There's always somebody discovering it. There's always somebody discovering that sweet, delicious. Now, I don't say it myself because it's too decadent for me. I couldn't possibly. I couldn't.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, look, it's you know, I'm not one of these people as well, whereas I am offended by the word nigger in the context. If somebody were walking, if there was a black kid walking down the street and a white guy ran across the street and said, "Hey, nigger, get out of my neighborhood," I would try to fight that white guy.
All right, I told you that in confidence before the show.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, I would literally step in and be like, "What the fuck's wrong with you?"
And then you'd see it with Sherrod and be like, "Okay."
But you understand? So yeah. It's like, it does offend me because the context.
Yeah, you know why?
Just the trigger of the
no
word
context.
Itself, it means nothing.
They want,
and it's very funny to me. And it's also very funny to me when people are uncomfortable. So we do shows like Legion of Skanks or this show. We say these words and we watch people that either get uncomfortable or think it's funny to watch other people be uncomfortable. That's an entire other category.
Of course.
Uncomfortability, that should exist
but
in the
not,
world.
Wait, wait.
Not everybody should be comfortable.
No, okay. Yes, obviously. But that whole fucking thing is like, because you know, a million and one people, I don't know who, I guess there's people if you're like, have you ever said the N-word? Like, and they'd be like, never. I would never let that word pass my lips. I think Patricia Arquette tweeted some shit like,
wait, what?
Like people claim, like, act like they've never said the word nigger in their lives, which is unbelievable because everybody's lying about it. Everybody has fucking said that. And, you know,
have you ever been to a Friday's?
Have you been to Bennigan's? No, they fucking, but so the thing is, it's not that it means that you are, right? Here's what the new thing is. It's different. It's like, because you know people like that have said it and you're like, I know that person's not a racist. And you'll hear somebody get mad and like, do you really think that they're a racist just because they said it? No, they don't. The point is, it doesn't matter who you are, what you really think. The point is, and it's not that they think you're racist. It's that you said it and now they can say you're a racist. Okay?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do. They don't give a shit what you actually think at all. Do you understand?
Well, yeah, they
the people that get mad about that, they don't give a shit. They need it because the bottom line is this has, it's like a, there's like a war now.
There must be endorphins released when you call somebody racist, sexist, whatever it is. If they did a study, I guarantee, first, it's always the same endorphin as
probably
cocaine.
Probably similar to when it's I always, say those dirty words.
It's always the same endorphin as cocaine, but I guarantee there's some little fucking endorphin released when you accuse somebody of something, you point your finger at somebody, and then people pat you on the back. There, it's the same thing that when you get a social media like, whatever that thing is, it feels good.
Yeah,
it
right.
feels good to discover also, to be the detective and to uncover this fucking piece of shit and this other angle. I understand it. I completely get it. You know,
how come nobody, by the way, makes, because I was thinking about like if there was like superhero people with superpowers, that is what it would turn into.
What?
In pretty quick order. If people had superpowers, like in real life, like
rip
all these people who think they're heroes doing fucked up shit and getting it wrong a lot. And like, well, it's a war out there. That's why. Like, it would be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
There would be almost no. Because all this shit now is like, it's always got, but Patrice has that thing about like, they always need us to be at war, right? And and so if you have if you're trying to get a movement going, because I'll go read the fucking, you know, I used to try to get people on my show in the beginning before I understood what the fuck it was. I'd be like, oh, come on, tell me about your feminist, you know, it's like, we're not trying to like debate, like, I just want to hear what it is, okay?
Yeah.
And they're like, they get mad, you say you're harassing them because you invited them on.
Of course.
Okay. And I was like, what? I don't understand this because it's not fucking about that's probably some damage. Like most of the ones that are like the most crazy online of whatever it is, they're usually like some kind of damage or molested or abused somebody. Okay.
Yeah.
So they get into it. And the people who write this fucking theory that trickles in, like the, you know, only white people can be racist, you know, that fucking.
Yeah.
Like it's, so if you read the premises of it, it's all extreme radical, like taking from the Black Panther movement and the something and call it through a Marxist lens. Like that's all the, how
right.
they describe it. And you're like, oh, okay. So this is on purpose. We change the definition of words, tap into people, why you're going to an anger management thing. Okay. And wasting your anger that could have been used for the cause.
Right. That,
okay. So it's not, you know, so now you'd be anti-racist. Right. And so you're thinking of like, well, I don't care about it. I just treat people. Whatever is like, that's the most racist thing there is.
Right.
Is that. And you're like, but that's not racist. Like, no, we're calling it that. So because it needs to be a war. There needs to be a war. So there's not enough. So these like all these dickheads that are fucking Nazis, or if they're like an ethno-nationalist or something.
Right.
Oh, Jay showed me the documentary. Did you see that where that Pakistani reporter, I'm forgetting her name, and she meets with like skinheads and shit. This is before Charlottesville.
I didn't see this.
Richard Spencer's in it. And the very obvious thing, which is like, I think the guy's gay. Like, the guys on top are all gay, clearly gay, or if they're not, like, they're repressing it hard if they are. Richard Spencer, you could just watch his wrist for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You never hear that online about, like, this clearly gay man, ever. And then all the foot soldiers, like the dudes, like, they're like, something happened to them. And this is how they dealt with it. So she goes and talks to them. They have some sent, like, you know, go shit skin, go kill yourself and all that. And she just talks to them. Plus, she's hot. Mm-hmm. So it's a slick move. Because she's like, do you really think that I should be deported? And then they're like, no. Like, no, I don't.
Oh, yeah, because they're just nerds that are staying. They're never around a hot
chick.
Not
only that, she's just being nice to them.
And also, the reality is all those kids are, every one of them, they are, it's when I was a kid and when you were a kid, because we're close to the same age, you're a few years older, but there were goth kids and fucking jocks, and there was the fucking, you know, the skater kids, and there was just kind of cliques. And now it's sort of like, it seems like people need to just have an identity.
Yeah, right.
And it's strange because usually you would just graduate high school, college, whatever it is, and your identity would be your job, whatever it is. But because everyone lives online now, they need to have more of like an animated identity that's sort of more, it's not about tangible things. It needs to sort of just be, you need to be able to flash it really quick and show this identity very quickly with a couple posts.
It needs to have no, you don't have, it needs to take no work to build it. You just come out of the box. So if you're into it, it's because it's,
all it is it's joining a clique. It's just being a fucking goth kid. And that's what these, you know, these alt-right kids are. And that's what fucking,
I don't think there really are that many of them. I think after that fucking thing, that stupid march, I think, that because there were like I said, there weren't enough to go around for all the fucking people that, and then when that fucking maniac ran this chick over, I mean, that was the end of that little, because all the half the people were trolls that were like, I'm just saying it because it bothers you.
Oh yeah,
okay. Then there's this weird where a few were like, said it enough that they like, oh wait, I do think it now.
There was like 30 actual Nazis, and then there was like 100 fucking trolls,
and then, and like, but then like the,
it wasn't even that many people, by the way. It was literally less than a Legion of Skanks show. It wasn't even that many people that were actually there,
right,
protesting.
And that's why,
and the media turned it into this big fucking thing.
Dude,
and
it's, now you see,
you're creating a fucking race war.
But that's why it's just saying the dread word. That's why you're now a Mecca. There's not enough racists for this thing that we're doing.
Oh, so they need to create it. But
we
so
need a war.
They go, boom, you're... Well, exactly. We get called it all the time. We get told we're Nazis and fucking Proud Boys.
Yeah, wasn't somebody... Oh, somebody was mad. Somebody had a Proud Boy shirt or some dumb shit.
So many people that get mad at us all the time now, but we ignore it. And also, the other thing... Here's what was brilliant about Legion of Skanks.
And you're not a darling of the industry that they can...
It doesn't matter. We don't have any of that shit. But also, we label ourselves as the most offensive podcast on Earth, and we lean into it so hard You, if somebody ever said, did you guys say nigger like 1,000 times?
Yeah, right.
Are you crazy? That's what you're mad about? Whatever somebody can uncover, I can show them something 10 times worse that we've said on that show. So people won't even waste their time.
Yeah, you're not going to be under their attention.
Louis fucking should have just been talking about beating off in front of chicks all these years. I thought he was smart for years for just ignoring it. I was like, that's what you got to do. You got to ignore the charges and fucking just
that's
not
all
say
you
anything.
Can do with that. There's nothing he could have done that.
I think if he would have written bits about it and he would have just been like, yeah, I like to beat off in front of chicks. And dude, if that would have been his identity, he started becoming a fucking lefty and he started becoming, you know, having opinions on politics and trashing Trump, and he became a darling of the left, and then they fucking killed him.
That's their
jurisdiction. That was the issue. If he would have just said, hey dude, I'm kind of a creep, you know, and that's all it was. That was what he was guilty of. He was guilty of being a creep. That's not even that much of a creep. I do creepier
shit. By the
way,
he talked about it all the time. He didn't mention a specific, you know, but like, there's no anticipating this fucking thing, which is a war. That's that's why you're expected to be an ally. That's not a, you know, they all go, you have black friends, whatever. Like, are you an ally? Those are war terms, okay? Yeah. So it's like people that want, and so all the extremists need each other. You have to have an extremist to fight with, or if no one's going to play, then it's a problem. And if they have any chance to make you into that, and they're not going to talk to you about it, or like, well, what do you actually think? Like, if you're not there, like, all the better.
Yeah.
And so now, and the goal of that, oh, that's the thing, right? I forgot the fucking. So this has made me laugh my ass off, dude. Okay, so I find this article. I don't know how the fuck I came across it. This is NBC News, okay? Comments disabled on this article, by the way. Because you could tell, because this, all of them, when they write this shit, it's like you had some shitty girlfriend that says some outrageous thing to start a fight to you and then slams the door.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait a minute, that's not slam. Like, that's what this is the equivalent of. So here's the title.
Keep it talking. I'm going to plug in my phone while you're reading this.
Wow, I'm racist. In time of viral encounters, white spaces are used to confront biases. Okay? So then here's the subline under it. Every word of this is a treasure. Okay, there's a quote from one of the people at these white spaces. I used to think I was this perfect little white person in a bubble that didn't do anything bad to black people, and so I was okay. I'm like, I'll bet you did think that, yeah. Bitch. Nicole O'Connor, I mean, you're going to be like, I wish there was a comments, yeah. Even if you don't do that kind of thing. Nicole O'Connor, a nurse practitioner in St. Louis, was selling her dining room table on Facebook when a prospective buyer, a black man, reached out. She told her husband not to leave her alone if the man came to see the furniture, which she didn't feel the need to say when a white woman like herself had shown interest.
That's just good detective work, lady. I got to be honest with you.
That was her moment of clarity. Wait. I was like, oh my God, that's racism. O'Connor, 32, said in a group of all white adults this month. So I told my husband, I'm like, I don't know what to do with this, but this is how I'm feeling. I mean, like, dude, I mean, does that blow you away?
That's bananas.
Because I promise you, if it was some feminist nonsense about like, he invited me to his show and I didn't feel safe. She would be like, yeah, that's men need to realize that they're scary.
It's psychotic. First of all, it's like, pick a fucking side. Pick a lane, lady.
They did pick a side.
Are men the problem? Is it now because it's a black man? There's a problem. They don't know how to deal with that when it becomes a black man. So they start to malfunction because their crazy philosophy doesn't make any sense.
Well, because they are actually, here's what rich.
They are racist.
Yeah, rich liberal whites are so goddamn racist. And look, if a lot of it's just.
Everyone's racist. I don't care. Well, here's the thing. Everyone.
By what definition of racism?
By the definition of people have natural biases and bigotries that they either suppress or they don't.
But that's not racism.
And they act based upon.
That's bigotry or prejudice.
Sure,
everybody's
okay.
See, the lefties say what you're saying, which is everyone's racist. But racism, very specific.
But I'm saying everyone's racist, and that's not a big deal. I'm saying that's fine. The same way I was saying if everyone said nigger, that it would just be another word now. I'm saying if we just look at reality, everyone has those bigotries, and who gives a fuck?
Here's why.
We coexist in of that.
Yes.
When I was in kindergarten, let me say this real quick. Yeah. When I was in kindergarten, this happened. It's such a clear memory of mine. This was before they would assigned seats, because now they don't let this shit happen, right? When I was in kindergarten, they said, hey, go pick a table, first day of school. And all the white kids sat together, all the black kids sat together, and all the Hispanic kids sat together, naturally segregated.
Where was this?
West Havishaw, New York, an hour outside of the city, an hour outside.
You might as well flown 2 hours, because that's how it's going to be, like that far away from integrate.
No, it was very crazy how there was a natural segregation, and these kids just would naturally go to. And I'm not saying it's right. What I'm just saying was, it was natural. They naturally.
I went to a mixed school that was opposite of that. When I lived down south, it's not deep south, but Statesville, North Carolina, very mixed and very like. So they're from a neighborhood, so like the kind of neighborhoods where there's a white neighborhood and a black neighborhood and whatever.
But that's sort of how it was too. Like it was like neighborhood to neighborhood. It would be white, Hispanic, black, like block to block almost where I grew up, and the school was very, very mixed. But it wasn't anything, there was nothing malicious. The only reason I remember this is because I sat with the white kids. I sat because I was raised by white people. And it was something that stuck out as I think back. And I remember sitting and watching everybody and looking around and just kind of having a moment realizing like, oh shit, I'm not like these kids. And I was raised by all white people. And the point that I'm making is that it's just sort of a natural thing and it's just not...
Well, cliques are natural, for sure.
People push this thing down, and what happens is it comes out on social media comments, it comes out on Reddit, it comes out on YouTube comments, and it comes out in a really vile, nasty way because you don't let people have real opinions.
Right.
You know, if I'm walking around all day and I'm suppressing these thoughts and these ideas and these things, whether it's through a joke form or whatever it is, and I'm afraid of my job being lost and I'm afraid, I'm constantly thinking about it, then in my head, you're fucking creating this evilness that's growing deep inside.
Yes, no
and you're
shit.
Pushing
that's
it.
That's the point.
It's fucking, it's really
fucked
up.
Why do you think
up.
They want,
it's
yes.
really fucked up.
Wait, do you understand that that's the whole point of this?
That and then guys like us who say fucked up jokes, it's like we're doing the opposite. We're releasing it in a way where we're creating something positive out of it. There's a net positive where you have 1,000 people or 500 people in a room that are laughing at the exact same time
Wait, here's the purpose of that, okay? I told you we're at war, okay? So remember like, the Dixie Chicks or whatever said, we hate George Bush. And they're like, burn their albums. Remember, they got hashtag canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in a time of war, you don't speak against your country, okay? Yeah. And you certainly don't blow off steam, okay? Steam, You're wasting valuable energy that the movement needs. Yeah. That's why you're not allowed to have jokes. And if you if you press it down and it causes you to go out there and help march and whatever, that's fine. If you press it down, it makes you crazier and crazier till you pop and do something, even better.
Yeah.
It helps our war. We need more members and we need more Nazis. We need you to press your feelings down until you pop and become one of us or one of the enemy, because no one gets to not be part of this. Like that's the goal.
That is, it's an interesting point. I've never heard it articulated that way. Creating the Nazi, creating the narrative that there is this whole movement out there, so you have a war. And also, it's a business as well. So these bloggers don't have jobs. These websites don't exist.
Now they do.
Without real anger and without people feeling as if they're really victimized, dude, it's fucking. It really is nuts. Are there any more stories like that on that site? That was great.
Oh, dude, hold on.
That's fucking.
I didn't even get to the good part.
White people are fucking. It's grow. I talk about this in my hour, but it's like, have some fucking pride,
dude,
guys.
This is,
what the fuck happened to white people? My mom, I remember when I was a kid.
That's the thing. You know a ton of white people that are not like this. It's not white.
My mom was a piece of shit.
That's why I said white's not a real fucking thing. Like, this is very upper middle class.
We'll roll another blunt while we talk.
This is very middle class. To upper middle class to rich white people that live in an all white neighborhood, and they are liberals or whatever, so they feel but they don't know anybody black, and they're scared. By the way, if you've never been around black kids or you've never been around whatever, of course you're going to be nervous.
What are you, an angel in heaven?
So they fucking Louis, you saw white people, did you think they were gods?
Look at their white godlike skin.
Because this bitch has to judge. So because these are very selfishly like this white bitch saying this selfishly woman, what it is by them taking on going I'm racist just by being alive, which what this thing is, it's a way to make something that's about them. It's like, I'm not getting, like,
it's so funny because you pointed it out. I do weirdly believe that, but it's just such a different perspective. I'm going like, yes, everyone's bigoted naturally just by being alive inherently, not just white people. They believe it's only white people, but everyone's there. And also black people are literally the most racist people in the fucking world. It's hilarious. I think it's funny.
Right.
They're so unapologetically racist, black people. It's awesome. It's one of the fucking.
I don't know how you could
Patrice used to have a
white
great
people
bit.
That are like that.
You told that story about her, but Patrice used to have that bit about. He's like, I don't want to cross the street. If this black guy sees me cross the street, he's going to think I'm racist. And he's like, cross the street, you idiot!
Yeah, right.
If I see five, skinheads walking toward me, and it's such a brilliant point.
Well, this woman's ready to get raped on her table. She's trying to sell on Facebook by a fucking. Wait, listen. This is going to blow your goddamn mind. She goes, she thought she wasn't racist. The lady who leads the group now, I didn't tell you the best part of this. It's called a white space, okay? And it's a place for white people to discuss their racism, and there's no black people there. It's just for white people.
No blacks allowed.
So white people in a group discussing their racism in an all-white space, okay? Which, by the way, that's how dippy of a cultist you have to be to not notice the full 360 that you've just done.
Yeah.
But why no black people? Because traditionally the burden has been on black people to explain how they feel and whatever, and like they're just tired of it. So we'll just do it. Don't ask the black people. They're sleeping. They're so sleepy. They don't have time. Stop bothering them. You're gonna ask them how they feel?
Yeah.
You should already know how they feel, because it's like dating a white woman. You should have already known how I felt.
I don't really know white people like that, though. I guess it must be young white
people.
Well,
that's why.
Here's why
you don't, because these are rich fucks. The official Dave Chappelle said when he got his money, it was like a bitty down stage, and like when you make that kind of money, you go they bring you in a room like, Dave Chappelle, you've made $50 million. Now here's the real white people, and pull a curtain back. Okay. This is these rich fucks. This is yet another way for them to keep. This is a trend for rich people. OK, and when they say white, they're not talking about you, like they don't give a shit about you. This is the most self-absorbed people in the entire fucking universe, because they got money and shit, and they got all this extra time to sit and think about their money and why, dude, should I deserve it? And why do I? And a lot of them didn't earn it. That's why so many white it's like silly, silly kids that just got shit handed to them.
Yeah.
And they have that I am every woman fucking idea. So everything's about them. So of course things with women who they've never met or black people, of course it's about them too. And by the way, it is, because they're the ones that set the trend. And that's why we can't all enjoy saying nigger the way you described in that utopia. That's why. Because black people, and you, even though you don't want that. Nobody wants some rich fuck like this. Like, as annoying as this bitch is who's talking, if she was like, oh, there was some nigger in the parking lot, it would be so much worse.
Yeah.
So it's not because of white. It's these white people are the ones that who talk about privilege, the privileged ones. They're the ones burning out everyone with their fucking horse shit. And that's why we can't have nice things like saying nigger.
It's a great philosophy. It really is.
Because you think about it, like, I wouldn't want to hear that, like, black or white. I wouldn't want to hear this woman. Like, ew, late. I don't even like hearing her talk at all.
Yeah. I want to talk about this really quick. Because we do a lot of bits on this show and segments, and this is a little different than the normal show. We usually have it in a studio, but where'd my phone go? Oh, it's over there. Yeah, I gotta grab my phone. So we do one segment called Scam That Jew, and so you know, this is not anti-Semitic.
What am I, the devil? Who's that clever?
No, you are the Jew in the scam. Scam That comma Jew. So we have fans send in scams.
You should call it like Jew That Scam.
Jew That Scam.
Jew That Jew.
No, we've really hit a stride here. There's a Scam That Jew t-shirt. The only way you can get the Scam That Jew t-shirt is by sending in a winning scam. So there's only been like a dozen or so.
What counts as a scam?
So it's got to be a scam that you can't get in trouble. You can't get any real trouble for. You got to be able to talk your way out of it. That's sort of the baseline rule. So I'll give you a couple examples of some popular ones that I've done in the past. This is a great one. At Starbucks, you can just walk up to the mobile thing and take any drink. They've never asked ever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just, it's pretty, you know, you're never really going to get caught there. You can sort of talk your way out.
Well, I like to have a frank discussion about race with the barista, so it might draw attention.
I'll give you.
They're not tired. They drink coffee so they can listen.
Another very popular one is life proof case for your cell phone, which you need. Kurt Metzger's cell phone.
So
is in a million
thing stopped
pieces.
Working, and I took out of the case, and now it fucking shoots out of my hand like the Predator, that buzzsaw they were studying. They go, pew! Like, it just slides so quickly.
So there's a life proof case, which is one of the best cases, a $100 case.
Oh.
There's a little loophole where if you go on their website, their rebate, or
their.
You get fucked in the ass. You get a new life proof case.
It.
No, they, if you say that it broke, all you gotta do is go to their website and fill out the thing for the warranty, pick a location that sells the case, and they send you a brand new one for free. That's it. There's another one. You go to Target, you get really expensive bed sheets, like, you know, whatever thread count, and you get really shitty ones, right? You buy them both, and then you return the really shitty ones in the expensive packaging, so you get really expensive bed sheets for cheap. Little simple things, Kurt. Little simple
nice.
Things. Okay, so and there's a million of them out there. So the fans send them in, and if you guys want to send your scam in, it's scam, send it into realassofficial@gmail.com. That's the email address where you can send in anything. If you want to send in dick pictures to Shannon or just hate speech, anything, you know what, anything you guys want to send, realassofficial@gmail.com is the website. And I'll take a moment as well. Let's get some plugs out of the way really quick.
It's a great charity, dick pics for Shannon.
Yeah, why not?
Wait, Shannon who?
She's our producer.
Oh, Shannon. Yeah,
our producer.
She born without dick pics.
So, yeah, guys, also, you should know, if you love this show, every episode of the Real Ass Podcast that we've ever done is available on demand at your fingertips, gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP. Get yourself a 14-day free trial for the premium service, 5-day pre-release on the episodes, uncensored, ad-free, and more. Over 5,000 hours of content on Gas Digital Network, including Legion of Skanks, and Believe You Me with Michael Bisping. All my podcasts are available at Gas Digital. Mess, you got anything to plug really quick while I get these scams ready?
Get your scams and flams ready. I'm starting my new podcast, dude. I'm calling it Kurt Can't Get Right.
Love it.
And here's how it's gonna work. I got this idea from Vecchio, he was arguing with Mike Yard about a pot, like, I guess Larry Wilmore's show. He said something about women like in the first week, and he got such a blowback that he didn't want to take chances anymore. This is what Mike and So fucking Mike goes, he should apologize. And Mike's like, no, you never apologize. And Mike's like, no, I'm saying you always apologize, which I think is a great idea. Every episode will begin with an apology for the last episode's offensive content. Okay. A heartfelt. So the first episode, the apology I'll tell you right now, is going to be the name Can't Get Right. And I got from Shiraz always saying Kurt Can't Get Right. which I've appropriated from the African-American community.
Beautiful.
A.K.A. Sherrod.
That is enough.
I intend to profit from it and not.
He's so black that I count him as an African-American community.
He's a community sport.
All the good and the bad.
He has got a community's worth of dick. Trust me.
Yeah, he does.
You don't even want to know how I know.
No. Well, that's how race wars got so popular.
Yeah, so then I'll have to apologize for not using word burkas and what have you, but
cool.
Every episode begins with an apology.
Cool. When are you releasing?
When I get back from Moon Tower, I'm going to start. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
All things comedy?
I think so.
You think so?
But regardless.
We're going to cast this little baby boy.
It's going to happen somewhere. So if it's not immediately, you know what I mean? Like,
Metzger. We'll talk off the air. Trust me. They're all great. They're all great.
Their deal is pretty cool.
We'll talk.
Oh, yeah. I want to tell you this thing so bad.
All right, let me do these scams really quick.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. All right, this is from Johnny. He says, this is a Chuck E. Cheese scam. Not sure if this is a good scam, but I don't care if you don't like it. If you have kids, I think this is good. Chuck E. Cheese allows you to add time to a card where you get unlimited amount of games in this time period. It's supposed to only allow you to play one game at a time, but I realize that the system only locks card for 15 seconds, so you can start a game for one of your dumb kids, wait 15 seconds, start it for another kid. You think that's going to win you a fucking t-shirt, Johnny? Really? You think I don't know that you could just fucking use the unlimited thing 15 seconds later? This is the problem with people. That is an unmotivated scam.
Oh, I didn't
scam.
Know. I was like, oh, a winner.
You were excited. You were going to go to
Wow, that's
Chuck
a great scam. Did you know if you bring a loaded firearm into a Chuck E. Cheese, you can have all the pizza. As much unlimited pizza.
Chuck E. Cheese will fillet you in front of all the children.
As much pizza as you can eat before the police arrive.
Let's see. All right, next one. All right. Hey guys, massive fan of the network. Was just wondering if Lewis would like my UFC Deluxe replica belt. It's one of the official ones from the UFC store, which cost $500 at the time. Please find an attached pic of my son with the belt. I would really like to swap it for a Scam That Jew t-shirt or a Real Ass t-shirt. I'll stop. I'll ship it to Lewis. It weighs about 5 kilograms and it costs a fortune to ship to the U.S. So this guy's trying to scam a free Scam That Jew t-shirt by sending me a UFC replica belt. I do a fucking podcast with a real former middleweight champion. I think I could convince Bisping to give me one of his belts.
For the real belt, maybe.
I could probably convince Bisping. Here, take this blunt. I don't think I've passed it once yet, have I?
I don't know. I'm high. I couldn't keep track.
This is a cute baby, though. Aww. That's a cute
little
baby.
Oh, that's a good scam.
If I get the baby, too.
Oh, if you're a baby, it's a midget when it gets there?
If I get the baby. Graham, you can get that. These are not good scams, Shannon. You need to... She's listening to this right now. She needs to fucking pick it up.
Oh, Shannon. I did a podcast many years ago.
She's great. Shannon's awesome. All right, ready? Here we go. What's up, doggy? Here it is. Go to the grocery store with self-checkout. Grab a handbasket or cart. Grab a few items that are higher dollar amount that aren't big and bulky, something you can easily handle without notice. Yeah, no. That's not good either. Free Audible scam. I'm done. These are all terrible. Let's see. Hi, Zach Lewis and Shannon and guest. I currently read a full series of books, 28 books, with one $15 credit on Audible. You can use a bank card that's going to be canceled or just buy one credit. But get one credit. What? This is terrible. I'm sorry. These are all bad scams. Nobody wins this week.
Wow.
None of them are good scams, Kurt. We don't get winners every week. We get winners probably once a month. They're all bad.
What's a good scam you can recall?
I have really good ones. I have another Starbucks one. So you could take your phone.
You call them up and go, this is the FBI. Everybody get naked and look at each other's butthole. And keep it going for 3 hours until they make a movie about it.
No, you can... excuse me. If you order Starbucks mobile app, once it's ready, take a screenshot of it, right? Whatever you order. And then now you can go to any other Starbucks.
Oh.
And just go, hey, I ordered this. It's not ready. And when they go, yeah, we never got it. Be like, look. And they're going to go, oh, you sent it to the wrong location.
Oh.
And then you go, oh, I'm an idiot. Can I change it? You can't. Every time they just make it. every time. You can call.
So that's a little bit of your acting ability has to come into play.
Yeah, but that's what a good scam is.
Yeah, that's what put little Ocean's 13 on it.
Yeah, depending on what you want to do here, you know, there's.
I have a point man that I set up to bump into me.
I'm trying to think of some other winning scams that have actually won.
I think that's a legit scam, right? Like, that's the criteria. That, all right, I get it. And then, yeah, it's a good scam.
It's if you can get...
Oh, do you know if you get people... Here's what you do. Open a gym and get people to join it and then keep charging the credit card because they didn't write you 6 months ahead of time, you know, on a pen, feather pen to quill.
Yeah.
Fucking, you send a handwritten letter to my mother addressed to her maiden name.
There's, you know, you can just call Macy's in the holiday season and say you lost your Beats headphones. There's always going to be a couple on the lost and found. Solid scam.
Yeah. Oh, did you know you can fucking... If you're a rich jerk off, you can quote unquote represent comedians because you're just a guy that knows some other rich dickheads.
And take 15% of their money.
15 fucking percent of their income. Did you know that? Did you know if you.
Scam that Jew.
Yeah. You actually, if you're an agent, you can represent writers, bundle them together for roughly all the same price, no matter what their skill level or what have you, to guarantee your income against their best interests.
It's a good scam. These are good ones.
Did you know you could get a Netflix special by being half an Arab?
We're gonna wrap this one up in a couple minutes. We're gonna go out to the Comedy Store and have some fun tonight, Metzger. I'm glad we were able to put our differences aside. I really am.
Well, it feels like old news now, but I guess if you had, you know, I can imagine like people waiting for the next installment of Game of Thrones, the book.
Yeah, I mean, look, I talked about it pretty openly. Like, we spoke extensively. We, you know, whatever happened there was, me and you have very unique personalities. And sometimes when people fucking, they bump into each other the wrong way in the world. And I think that's the sort of the best way to describe what happened there. Because I don't think either of us were right or wrong. I think there was different versions of sort of what transpired.
The important thing is that none of the news of this would reach like mainstream or normal press. That's the most important part.
It is true.
There's
but there is literally on the video of me and you, there's like a 500,000 views.
Well, but dude, that's the reason.
That's crazy.
But that's why you don't need a. No, I know. You know, ironically, it's how gross everything is. That'll probably be very good for my podcast.
Why would that many people even fucking care? Like,
because more than content. So whenever Jay would talk about Stern, because he would always like put on, you know, he had all the Stern shit, and I watched it with him. He loved the parts of like him yelling.
The conflict, yeah, of course.
Yelling at Benji. That's like my least.
If you listen to Legion of Skanks in the beginning, that's what Jay was trying to do. Jay was trying to make me and Dave his like fucking whack pack on Stern, and we had to literally fight against it. Like, fight. Like, he wanted
you guys,
to pit us,
you know,
against each other.
Should have maybe earned being Whack Pack more, too. You just let them in the Whack Pack.
But,
no, I know. You don't want
to
be a.
Jay wanted to watch. Like, me and Dave would get into arguments in the podcast, and he would love it. He would, like, lean into it. You listen to there's an episode.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Lewis versus Dave, there's an episode where he's, like, instigating it, and you're like, well, dude, like, I know that how it's interesting for some people. I don't like those podcasts. The best podcasts, in my opinion, are when me and my friends are making each other laugh. That's when it's fun. You know what I'm saying? Not when we're trying
to
fucking...
Isn't such like a... It's so funny, Jay's such a big dude. And he's like, the ways Jay's dainty or adorable. He's very neat.
Yeah.
Can't shit in a public restroom.
No, not at all.
He's not very rock and roll about his public shits, I'll tell you that.
No. Jay's a fucking...
But that's... Because that's what, by the way, the funnest thing is the... Which I can't even say. I mean, comedy, so I like being a gossipy bitch is a fucking fun part of comedy.
Yeah.
Especially if you're new. But it is like such a fucking... That's why I don't really even believe in that male-female... Because so many people have like such an element of both, you know? Like a yin in their yang, let's say. That is fucking... I watch people do like... And, you know, this is because of toxic masculinity, as we know. When it... Are you familiar with toxic masculinity, right?
For the original name of this podcast.
It's a horrible illness that for some reason mostly infects women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, miss, you're being very toxically masculine right now.
Yeah, is it also that's exactly what fucking feminist chicks are now. They're toxic. They are being toxically masculine.
But if you don't like it, this is well, yeah, that's why they get you get tricked into molding men to the guy you don't want to fuck.
Yeah,
because it's like lesbians behind these silly girls used to go to gay straight men or straight gay men for like to be their shamans in life.
Yeah,
and now they go to like lesbians and drag queens for their moral compass.
Right,
and so a gay guy is gonna be on your side to get laid because he wants dick the way you want dick if you're hetero.
Yeah,
but the lesbians running that are just playing a long game, much like a incel angry friend trying to figure their straight friend and like you don't like men. Yeah, I mean like ask anybody who hangs out with hang out with lesbians, there's a long game.
Yeah,
because they think like, you know, somebody thinking like a dude like with a like it's not yeah that guy's a dick, you should come over here and finger blast. How many, I know like a ton. Say a ton across all economic.
How do we get here again? Therapy?
Because you put indica instead of sativa, like I wanted.
I really did use indica.
Wait, this is the last thing I want to tell you. Okay, because I try to avoid like internet bullshit fights, right? Because I'm not like this, and then I'll just know them with never looking online. They'll just be in my fucking head.
Yeah.
So, remember the one with what's that fucking actress? She's that Brie Larson. It was like an internet controversy. Because she said at her press conferences.
I thought it was when they were... Do you remember... Is she the one who played...
Captain Marvel.
You see the meme with her and Spider-Man?
Oh, with their asses?
With their asses.
Oh, she's got the flattest ass outside the Chengdong province.
Her ass stinks.
She's a play... Okay, well, that's the thing.
And she then plays they photoshopped his ass onto her ass.
I know. He had that cute gymnast. He had that Billy Elliot ballet ass. Ooh, you've done a lot of toe work in ballet to build up that ass.
His ass was fucking tight.
I say just keep him and throw her away all completely, and I got a bone.
What happened with the controversy? I don't remember.
So this is a this is like an example of dumb like people fight. So it's like she's at her press junk. She goes, "What I'd like to see, like, why is it all straight white male men interviewing me at this? Like, where's all the people of like some like people of color?" And then. So the uproar, then people are like, well, you hate white male men, straight white males. That's the nobody addressing the fucking thing she just said. Yeah. First of all, they're not straight men. Number one, nobody's okay. Secondly, your press junket. Let's just think through the question. Okay, now where are all the black people here to interview Brie Larson?
Flat ass Brie Larson. They're interviewing Spider-Man right now.
Why would they? I mean, they said they wanted to be here. I don't understand what's going on. Like, are you that out of your
skull? Well, there's a weird thing. Like, that's another thing online where celebrities feel as if they have to take these, like, I don't even believe it's them half the time.
She's in Scientology. That's like, she's young. If you watch her with the cast members, how she, like, annoys the shit out of them.
Right.
Like she's like young and she's like Tom Cruise jumping on the sofa,
right?
About because that shit is all Scientology and it's all like so she has that she's like you have that face she makes in the like like in solidarity she's making the same face black people make when they see her ass. Injustice.
Yeah. All right. Look. In closing, you know, the world's over. It's it. I'm glad you're doing a podcast.
Well, it's the one on TV, which has been the world for everybody.
Yeah.
Now all this shit, dude, 500,000. I mean, which is as much of an embarrassment that is, but 500,000 for something like that.
Yeah.
The shit on TV, like all the shit, the magic TV picture box, everybody got their shit from, which by the way, all this racism these white people have is because the same goddamn lefty media had one narrative that niggas ain't shit for fucking 40 years.
Yeah.
They get the worst black people to put on TV.
Yeah.
Okay. And then now, there were black people of color angler of the way they've been portrayed by you. You mean how you have portrayed them? And how you filled these Joe Dum-Dum at home's mind with that? And now you're going to fucking yell at him for the shit you put in their fucking heads through the magic TV picture box? So now that picture box is losing because you could just do this and very unprofessionally both smoke a blunt for the whole fucking thing.
Easily.
And it'll be no consequences. Nothing. So. This shit's fucking like that's what I meant before that by dangerous that like it is that anything like that they gotta fucking
because
it's hemorrhaging too so like that's the last gasp is like
it the problem is there's too much of it and it moves too fast so I feel like where there's a great part there's a great place to be in. There's a great like area to like. I don't ever want to get really famous. I want to float in the fucking middle.
Yeah, and no, make I just money. Want to learn.
I want to make some fucking cash. And I this is success for me. Getting up every day and doing what I want to do. And not ever taking a step in a direction I don't want to take a step in. That's truly success. And the closer I get to that, the happier I am. And that's what I'm striving for. And the money and all the other shit, it seems to be filling in. And that's and that.
It depends what you get offered money for.
Well, the reality.
Yeah, if you get a big chunk of money, you know, dude, I don't know what the fuck happened to Jim Jeffries, but goddamn, how he pulled that off with the shit, all the shit I loved that
yeah,
he did.
Yeah, he says crazy shit.
But he is like. I mean, and the show, like, I'll fucking smear people and shit when they do those interviews.
Oh,
like,
it's crazy. That one thing, dude, where they fucking edited it, where they literally took his...
the comic book guy?
It would No, he was...
oh, no, that guy recorded
a Muslim.
It.
Yeah,
dude,
recorded
there's a good...
It.
There's a fucking good videos. It's called... like, it used to be called Diversity and Comics, or... But now it's something else. But this guy fucking... His videos are hilarious, dude, because he would, like, review comic books, and then that's when things started going batshit with, like, this Pacific Northwest kind of politics and everything. And the reason I really started following is because he has a lawsuit against somebody at Marvel Comics who tried to destroy some deal he had by, like, threatening the publisher.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up, and he took him to court. I think this guy fucked up. Tortious interference, something is called. And he's gonna like, that's the thing that's gonna settle all this hash with people that do this. They all think they can't be sued.
No, that's it. You gotta sue people. You gotta fucking sue people. If people fuck with your money and they fuck with your job based off of nothing, just because
get libeled, you gotta fucking sue.
Yeah, that's it. You know, but you're like I said, the goal for me isn't to ever even get to a place where, and I leaned so deeply into it. Like, I don't play that game.
That's why Chappelle ran to me. I never understood why he went to Africa.
I tell my agent all the time, like, please stop sending me for Disney auditions. I was like, what do you think is going to happen?
Let's say I get
booked on something. Let's say somebody doesn't do their due diligence and they book me for something on ABC.
I know.
Right? It's going to be a problem. Like, I'm going to lose whatever that is. And I think that opens the floodgates to lose other things. And it's not even about what you...
Dude,
it's about what you don't hear.
I can tell you what it does.
I know. Well, let's think about this. Think about all the things you know you didn't get because you were considered quote-unquote problematic.
No, I got them, and then I couldn't do the thing because that fucking due diligence. I had no idea it was like working for the FBI that you had
at least
10 years of clean tweets.
Doggy, it's crazy. But then think about all things these are things you know about, but think about the things you don't know about it never even got to your plate where they were, it never even.
Well, I assume, so that's how
there's
I
a thousand
it.
Things that I've never, where my name was brought up, they're like, nah, that guy's a fucking problem. But at the same time, if you're sort of creating your own thing and creating your own path,
then you could be the devil. Listen,
it doesn't
you
matter.
You could be a fucking pop star who molests children over many years as long as you're bringing in the fucking.
Yeah.
Because that's all that shit's about. And a lot of this fucking, we need to throw out these Louis and whatever, get rid of them and bring in these young fucking diverse, whatever. It's because you don't have to pay them how you got to pay the other people.
Of course.
Okay, so, I mean,
I hate those blogs. Like, here's 10 one-eyed lesbians that you can be watching this weekend instead of Louis. And you're like,
can I really? Like, oh my God.
It's so bad, dude. And you're like... You know, it's so funny, and I don't want to. I've talked about Louis ad nauseum, and I'm sure you have as well. But it's like, dude, if he was a victim of the timing, it could have been Aziz, it could have been Hartwick, could have been Hardwick. Whoever was sort of those guys, that's when everyone started going, wait a minute, we can't just fucking, this is getting a little crazy. These guys weren't really victimizing anybody.
You dehumanize people by making them famous or saying, well, that's a rich guy. Or that's a whatever. That's just a little classification to dehumanize.
Yeah.
And the biggest crime you could commit against, especially like a feminist, is to humanize them. That's the crime.
Yeah.
Because they put that fucking culty coat around themselves because there's little people. The same people that are like crazy trolls. I used to get it from both sides, but then the fucking other, the like, whatever they think, call incel, they were like, Jesus, that was kind of fucked up. Like, they had a little more mercy than the fucking... So that's the purity.
It's the exact same thing for the exact same. If you look at the why, they're looking for attention. They feel it's just, you know,
but the power feels good.
And when you were sort of
that should tell you, dude, the people that have money, they grew up with everything, feel powerless, and they need that little strip of power over somebody else. Even if it's just, I'm going to be in a pyramid scheme where like I'm second to last as a straight white woman, but I'm at least I'm above straight white men.
Right.
The people that kept, I always fucked, and I'm so mad.
Yeah.
Like, here's the worst thing about toxic masculinity. It's this terrible disease that for years has made women's pussy wet.
And also made the best jokes.
It makes men have to hold in their emotions and not cry in front of people. And as a even worse, women's pussies get so wet, they slide off their fucking chairs while driving.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
Why'd you stop fucking him, sweetheart?
That and it's we talked before about sort of when I started comedy, but think about our age. It's like I spent 37 years of my life, I don't know, looking up to men. You know what I'm saying? Like I never looked at men as being a bad thing, and in a weird, I didn't have a father, so it wasn't
why even, as a fucking boy.
But I'm saying not
well, why would a boy have look up? That's what you do.
But not looking up to even like a man in my life, because I only had women in my life. I weirdly always longed for like men to look up to, and I always weirdly like
yeah.
You know, it was always like a thing where I was like, you know, being a man was a you know a badge of honor, taking care of your family. You know, it was never like raping bitches and fucking punching people in the face. That wasn't what was cool about being a man. It was fucking going to war or
right.
putting food on the
stabbing
table.
Stabbing people in the face for your country.
But
healthy.
But as a kid, like you know, I sort of romanticized that idea of being a man. And now I've spent my entire formative years into my teenage years, into my adulthood now. And now the world shifts and I'm told just being a man is inherently evil. Yeah, you're going to create some fucking...
Who told you it was evil? The magic picture box.
Yes, exactly.
That's the thing. It's not, it's like you're not actually, you know, like, oh, you're not really the oppressed. Like, no, I know that in real life, it's better to be white, but you don't understand all, if you don't understand pro wrestling brain, you're not going to understand how people are going to vote or whatever. Okay. Hillary lost because she's a heel. She was a Democrat heel. And Trump was a heel, but he was the fucking Rock. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know enough wrestling to give you like
Well, no, but you're right about that. The difference was, and he leaned into it. He was like, yeah, I'm
dude,
a heel.
Dude, I root for this motherfucker like it's a heist
it's
film.
It's hilarious.
Now.
No, it's so
oh,
funny.
I wonder if make it to Mexico.
It's very funny. I'm with you because I don't give a shit and I don't believe whoever's in office, it's going to, when it trickles down to me, it's going to affect my bottom line. I don't live my life that way. It's
like I say ISIS is the last hope against feminism. Like, it's just like a joke, but that's what happens. Like, if you all shut the fuck up that didn't like him. Remember, I didn't like him before the election. I was like, hey, he's going to win. You guys should be a little afraid.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like nothing I anticipated.
Yeah.
So then as time went on, whatever his fucking, all his crises and shit. I mean, I can't think of a single one that's not bullshit.
Yeah.
Or to anybody who's not like a rich fucking like and very liberal like out here person. It's all something he said. It's all like society. Like these people have powdered wigs and shit.
They have no idea what his policy is. What's going on behind the scenes? They have no idea. They don't give a fuck. It doesn't matter. Even the things that he does. And I don't. By the way, I don't either. I have a no Trump rule on the show, so we never talk Trump on the show because I don't fucking know.
Yes,
I don't read the books.
You don't even want to know.
Who fucking cares, right? But the reality is, there. I'm sure. And I don't know, but I'm sure there are things that he's done that have been very good, just in terms of policy and things that have come out of it. There's just a million things that
dude,
have
the bottom line is
us.
We're not in a war with him. Like he has less blood on his hands than I think pretty much every other president.
Yeah,
like all the shit that counts.
I think he does have a lot of blood on his hands too, by the way. But
well, he's got money. First of all, everybody has. Depending on what order of magnitude you want to say you're connected, everybody does. That's how nature works, but it's just like to what degree is your line? You're like, well, I don't want that blood on my hands.
Yeah.
But if you're the president, that's a fucking part of the job is there's gonna be blood on your hands. So if you already had some,
yeah,
like, that's
no, you're right. Yeah,
bonus.
you're right. All right, look, let's wrap this one, dude. This has been a great conversation. I want to keep on. I'll just yap with you. This is what I do. I'll talk for the next 3 hours, and we want to go to the store and have some fun. Kurt Metzger's new podcast. Go. What is it called again?
Oh, Kurt Can't Get Right. It's coming
Kurt
out soon.
Kurt Can't Get Right coming out soon.
I'll put it on my website.
Possibly, I guess. Who knows? Maybe we can work out a deal. I don't know. I got to go see what All Things Comedy offered him and see if we could buy him out. But we'll see what happens with Kurt Metzger's brand new podcast. Very excited to hear that. Make sure you go check him out live on the road. Undeniably, even after we got into all the shit, I couldn't go on to any of my podcasts and deny how much I've looked up to you as a comedian. And it doesn't come up from
don't you think it's funny that like... Something, a heated fucking argument to that level, which would end with like making up and moving on. People can't even do that for somebody just like farted out the wrong thing online.
Yeah, it's hilarious. We have like a passionate argument where we're threatening each other's lives.
You know, like a man does instead of that fucking, yes. That's what chicks do, ain't it?
Yeah,
but she's right. out of my
you're
circle.
Right. And then some for a word or whatever it is. But look, go see Kurt Metzger on the road. One of the most brilliant minds in comedy. If you're fans of Legion of Skanks and guys like myself, Zach Amico.
I mean, don't build up a lot. I don't.
No,
wanna...
it's the reality. I don't want to
live up to it if I'm tired from the flight.
You, Big J, Nate Bargatze. You guys, when we started in comedy, you guys were the guys that we fucking looked up to, and it was before you guys had specials on television. It was before you guys had things going on. You were young comics yourselves, and we were hanging out with you, but we also really looked up to you guys in a very, very big way. So, that's undeniable. And if you guys have an opportunity to see Kurt Metzger on the road, fucking go out and see him, throw up some fucking skank hands, buy him a drink, or not a drink, but some heroin or whatever he does now. I don't know. And
or skank, give me some hands.
Or give him some skank hands.
Some skank hand.
Give me some skank hand.
But yeah, you guys are the fucking best. Thank you for listening. I'm back in New York on Friday. Got a live show planned. And we'll have another show coming out this week. We got another one coming out at one point. I'll figure it out. Thanks for listening. We'll check you next time. Peace.
That's all, folks.